share a little bit tonight as well, but I wanted to share a message that I believe the Lord's put on my heart. You know, I always pray. This is always a good thing to do. Just as if you're going to speak in front of people, you should pray. So I always pray and ask, Lord, what do you want to speak to your people? But our first Wednesdays are kind of a special time. I try and pray all month, like, Lord, what word do you have for us as a people? What word do you want to speak to your people? And tonight, as I've been praying through over the last month and really over the last week, just really preparing my heart, saying, Lord, what do you want to speak? I believe I've got some words for us to share, and specifically three words that I feel are catalytic to what God wants to do in our days ahead as a church. And so I don't want to overemphasize that, but I also want to make sure I'm telling you this. I feel like this is what the Lord is speaking to us as a church body, as a family. And these are things that I believe God wants to do in our midst, in our days ahead. And there's three words I want to share with you tonight. The first word is fruitful. Say fruitful. Fruitful. The second word is prepare. Say prepare. Prepare. And the third word is multiply. Say multiply. So God wants us to have these words, these ideas of being fruitful, of preparing ourselves, and of multiplication. And these are the words that have jumped out to me. And I just share this anecdote because I think it's an important one. Over the last couple months, I've been really just seeking the Lord in a new dimension, in a new way. I've been actually read through the scriptures cover to cover several times. And I don't say that to boast. I say that to say there's a couple words, a couple phrases, a couple ideas that every time I come across them as I'm reading through the scripture, it like shines like a bright flashlight. You ever have one of those moments where you're reading and God's like, boom, that one's for you? And I, as I've read these concepts, they've come up for me, and Rebecca's going to share one that came up for her as we've been praying about, Lord, what do you want to speak to your people here at New Heart? And so these words, again, like a bright shining flashlight, fruitful, prepare, and multiply. I want to talk about two of those, and Rebecca's going to share one. The first is the word fruitful. And here's the idea. I believe God wants us to be very fruitful. And to do that, we have to be a people that will have deep roots. To be fruitful and to be effective in what God has called us to do, God needs us to have deep roots. And I want to share a scripture. Again, specifically over the last month, I read through 2 Kings and Isaiah. And this exact passage is verbatim, like copied and pasted in 2 Kings and in Isaiah. And so we're going to look at 2 Kings. You can put that on the screen, Kyle, or if you're back there. If not, I got the clicker. Perfect. 2 Kings 19. In verse 29, I want to read it to you. And this is a specific word that's given to the people of Judah, but I want to read it because as I read it, I felt like the Lord was saying, that's also for you. Verse 29 of 2 Kings 19 says, "And this shall be the sign for you. This year, eat what grows of itself. And in the second year, what springs of the same. And in the third year, sow and reap." Say sow and reap. You guys are good. "And the third year, sow and reap and plant vineyards and eat their fruit. And the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward." And that particular visual, I think I shared it a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was a month ago. I don't even remember when it was. But those words came out of my mouth, that God wants us to bear roots downward so that we can bear fruit upward, that we would grow downward and take root downward so that we could bear fruit upward. And there's something of having roots that allows us to be fruitful. And God says, I want you to plant yourself where you are. And again, this is a specific word given to a specific people for a specific season that they were in, to Judah, as they were in a land of exile. They were in a land of difficulty. They had been exiled. But God is speaking to them, giving them specific instructions. And he tells them that there's work that they've got to do. There's a work that's in front of them. Now, have you ever been too busy, too overworked to eat? To make a proper meal. You ever been in that situation? That was me today, by the way. I'm just going to publicly confess to you. I got a bag of chips or something. I don't know what I did. But you ever too busy to eat? And what God is saying is that there's going to be a season that's right in front of you where I just want you to take the fruit of the land, the fruit that's all around you. And then maybe a year, maybe a couple years, but eventually you're going to start building your own vineyards. But for now, there's a season of preparation. There's a season of work that I've got in front of you. And I want to share a couple ideas that the Lord put on my heart and impressed on my heart about this passage. The first is that God will bless the existing vines that have already been bearing fruit to this point. He says in verse 29, this will be the sign for you. This year, eat of what grows of itself. He's saying there's going to be some growth that takes place in your life around you that you aren't going to have to work for. You're not going to have to till the soil. You're not going to have to work hard to prepare to receive this blessing. This is the blessing of God that's going to come into your season that's right ahead of you, that I've already prepared the soil. I've already grown the vines, and they're just sitting there waiting for you that you might be able to reap the benefit where someone else has planted, where someone else has done the hard work, where God is saying, I'm going to allow you to reap the benefit of those things in this season ahead. And he says, I want you to eat this year what grows of itself. And I believe the Lord is saying to us, there's some things that he's preparing us for, and there's some growth that he's got for us in days ahead. But there's a season right now where God's saying, I'm just going to show you that I've got this all under control. I'm going to bring some blessing. I'm going to bring some fruitfulness that grows of itself. And our job at present is to be harvesters of the work that God is already doing in our city. That God is already preparing souls. He's preparing hearts to receive the good news of what he has. He's doing things in our midst that we're like, what just happened, God? How did that fruit just show up on our doorstep? I don't understand it. And I believe the Lord is speaking that to us and reminding us of that truth, that there's something that grows of itself, and God's already got fruit. Sometimes we work hard to cultivate fruit in our lives, to see things take place, and God's saying, I've got fruit already in the land, and all I need you to do is take hold of it and do what I ask you to do. See, to bear more fruit, we've got to stop seeing ourselves as a remnant, or as I'm going to put it in biblical parlance, we got to stop seeing ourselves as grasshoppers. Maybe you're familiar with that phrase, that idea. But when God's people, you remember the 12 spies that went in to spy out the promised land of God, they walked into the land, and 10 of them came back and they said, guys, it's exactly like God said, but there's giants that are there. There's obstacles that are there that we can't get over. We can't overcome. In fact, the guys are so big and powerful and scary looking that we feel like we're like grasshoppers next to them. We're teeny tiny. They could just squish us with their foot. And I believe the Lord is saying, we need to stop seeing ourselves as grasshoppers. Now, it says, the surviving remnant, verse 30, the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. So you think about a remnant, and it's easy for us to feel like, man, we're too insignificant, or we're too small, or our gifts are not big enough, or whatever. We have this grasshopper myth, and I think there's a book called that. I haven't read it. I'm not endorsing it. It sounds like a cool book. But this idea that we think of ourselves in the wrong light. And I sense really strongly from the Lord, I'm going to read what I wrote because I think it's important, that we must change our paradigm, that we must stop thinking in that perspective of ourselves, whether consciously or subconsciously. We think we're too small to make a difference, or our gifts aren't big enough to make a difference, or our facilities aren't big enough to make a difference, or my family's not big enough. Well, I don't think that. I don't think you guys think that. But, you know, we don't think that way, but sometimes deep within us, we think, man, we're not big enough. We're not good enough to make a difference. But God says, I'm going to take a small remnant, and that's exactly what he did in the land of Judah. He said, I'm going to take a small remnant of faithful men and women that trust me enough to go back into the land of promise and say, God, I know there's obstacles. I know the walls aren't there. I know there's not security. I know it's a little scary for a season, but God, we trust in you. And as a result, God's going to take that small remnant and do something multiplicative that we can't even fathom what he's going to do. And that's exactly what God did to his people again and again and again. And I just want to say this. We're not grasshoppers. Turn the person next to you and say, you're not a grasshopper. We are the remnant of the giants of God's people. So God wants us to think of ourselves in a different perspective. And it's going to require us to shift the way we think. To shift the way our perspective. This isn't pretending like we are something we're not, but this is saying, just as God's people had to say, hey, we're a small remnant, but God's going to do something big. We believe that he can do something bigger than we even expect him to do. So God wants us to take a deeper root in our city. And as we go deep with our roots, God says, I'm going to produce fruit, a new measure of fruit, a multiplication of fruitfulness in our lives. So there's times where, man, we just need to receive from the Lord. And then there's a time where God says, now it's time for you to start building, for you to start thinking about how we can carry fruitfulness on to the next generation and the generation after that. See, I believe that God wants us to bear fruit in our region. And this is not a new thing. This church is 70 years old, and the Lord has done some amazing things through the men and women of old who have called this church their home. And God has used this church to make an impact in our city in big ways and in small ways, but in big ways, God has done big things. And I believe God is ready to take a remnant to bear root downward so that he can bear fruitfulness upward. Can I get an amen in the house? Anyone believe that? I'm going to say this publicly, and I'll say this. It's in my notes. I thought, maybe I won't say that. I'm going to say it. I believe this scripture says this. It says, this year, you're going to eat of the fruit. Next year, you're going to eat of the fruit that I've already prepared. And then in the third year, I'm going to have you plant vineyards, and it's going to bear fruitfulness. I believe that in 3 years' time, I hope and I'm praying and believing that we'll be in a position to plant new vineyards, that we'll be in a position to send out churches and plant new expressions of churches, to have a campus. I don't know what that's going to look like. Only the Lord knows his plans. But I believe that we have to prepare ourselves to be ready for what God wants to do. And I believe this is a word for us specifically, that we'd be a place of fruitfulness, that we would plant new vineyards and do a new work. And there would be new churches and new vitality in our region that would be greater than just one, but it would happen through that third word we're going to talk about in a minute. I don't want to jump the gun. That word, multiply. But I want to share that idea because I believe God is calling us to be fruitful, and that requires us to put down roots. Rebecca, I'm going to have you come up and share at this point. She's like, now's the time. Come on up. She's got a word, and that second word is the word prepare. And the idea is to prepare. To plant for the harvest, we have to prepare and remove the obstacles. And I wanted her to share, because as we've been praying about this together, the Lord put a really strong word in her heart. So here you go. Give it up.
Hey, guys. please, I'm just going to say this ahead of time, bear with me. I have a really hard time taking deep breaths right now. And I'm finding myself out of breath all the time. So just bear with me with that. But each year that we've been here, we're in our fifth year right now. Each year that we've been here, I have prayed and said, Lord, just give me a word, give me a verse, give me a passage of scripture that I can just pray over this church and contend for this body specifically. And it's been so awesome because each year I've seen the fruitfulness come out of that. It's not my prayers, but it's like what the Lord is saying he wants to do in his church. And so I've been so excited each year to see God show that come to pass. This year, it was a very specific word about, I'm so going to blank on the verse, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And it's a whole idea that his spirit is going to be the transcending thing, the thing that happens that changes people and that changes this body. And I've seen it. And I've heard people come and say to me, hey, I've seen this happen this year. And so it's been really awesome. And so anyway, I've been praying and asking the Lord, like, what do you want to do in 2020? What is it that you have for this church? How can I contend over this body? And I was reading recently in Isaiah, and chapter 62, there was a passage specifically that stood out to me. And just like Brian said, I was reading it, and it was like the Lord just stopped me in my tracks, like, would not let me go past that passage. And I just kept reading it over and over. Lord, what do you want me to get out of this? What are you trying to speak to me? And I just asked the Holy Spirit, like, what is this? And I really felt like it was a word for this body. And so I submitted it to Brian, and I said, hey, I just feel like this is possibly a word for this next season, and I would love to hear your thoughts on that to see if that's something that jives with you, something that is in agreement with what the Lord's speaking to you. And so that's why he asked me to come up and share today. So if you guys want to open to Isaiah 62, verse 10 is where I want to focus, though really the passage that he was speaking to me was verses 10 to 12. And basically, to understand the context of this passage, we have to understand the original context, understand what the Lord was really wanting to speak to this body. And so I want to go over that and then what the Lord is saying in that. Is that good? Okay. So, basically, to understand this fresh illumination, we have to understand that this is a passage where Isaiah, yes, he's prophesying, but at the same time, he's looking back and he's saying, okay, the Israelites, they were in exile to Babylon for about 70 years, and he was calling them to come back home to Jerusalem. He was calling them to come home. And so what he did is he was prophetically speaking forward as well and saying that Jesus, I'm just going to read my notes because I can't see this at all. Prophetically speaking, we see Isaiah has already said of the coming Savior that there are those who are going to prepare the way and raise a banner to lead the people home to him to salvation. So let's go ahead and read verse 10 in Isaiah 62. It says, go through the gates. Say, go. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Clear it of stones. Lift up a signal over the people. So first of all, anytime that you see a phrase or a word like repeated like that, you have to understand that that was on purpose. The author did that on purpose. In Hebrew culture, it was very common that whenever they wanted to emphasize the importance of something, they would say, let's do it twice. So it's go through the gates. So for that first one, he's saying to the original context, he's saying, open up the gates of Babylon and go through them. He's not talking to the whole of the Israelites. He's talking to those that are going to lead the charge or lead the way back to Jerusalem, okay? And those were Zerubbabel. He was the first one to lead the Israelites back to Jerusalem, the first wave of them. And then Ezra led the next wave, and after that, Nehemiah. But for us, what does that mean? Like, what does it mean? Go through the gates. Well, I really was focusing on that word go. Like, we are told to go and be his light. We are told to go and make disciples of the nations. We are told to go and seek the lost and search them out. And so with that, he's saying, open your doors, open your hearts to actually go as the Great Commission instructs us. And this for you may be going out of your comfort zone. The Lord's done that to me many times where I'm like, I don't want to go talk to that person. I don't know them. He's saying, go. And so my sons have been with me where I've like driven around a couple times. Lord, are you really saying that? And finally I stop and I do what he said and I go and I see him move. And so that's the whole point. Be open to go through that gate, whatever it may be. And then next it says, go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Prepare the way for the people. See, those that were leading the return from exile for the people of God, they were supposed to prepare the way for everyone else to come along. They were supposed to get it ready so that it made it an easier way for them to get home to Jerusalem. They had to prepare it. But how were they going to prepare it? Well, before I get there, hold on. We are to prepare the way for the people to be able to come home to God, because that's the whole purpose of church, right? We do church to come here and to be in the presence of the Lord, yes, but we have his presence with us no matter what if we said yes to Jesus. We come to church to fellowship with other believers. We come to church so that we can be invested in. We can gain our wisdom and knowledge and grow deeper roots, as he said. We come so that we can have that. But the whole point is we want people to come home to Jesus, because that's the point of it all. And so that phrase, come home or welcome home. Can you guys say welcome home? That's part of what I feel like the Lord is speaking. Welcome home. I've had this deep sense of just being compelled to put those words somewhere out there in the foyer. Because God doesn't want to speak it just to say welcome home to this church, but he wants to say welcome home to my family. Welcome home. Those were words that I heard on the very night that Brian and I were prayed over and took this church, and Tanya spoke them. But it was a word to my heart that said, welcome home here to this body. But the point of this is, welcome home to God's family. I want people as they enter to understand that they are being welcomed into a family that is so much greater than only what we have here. How do we prepare the way? Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway. Again, it's emphasized twice. Build up the highway. See, the road between Babylon and Jerusalem, it was a long road. It was 1,678.2 miles long for them to get home. I looked it up because I wanted to see how long it was. It was a long road to walk. And it was full, it was this dirt road that was full of stones and these like rocky crags where you can kind of fall a little bit. And it was just full of all of his stuff. And it was hard. It was going to be a hard journey for the people, let alone the distance. But walking it was going to be difficult. And so they were told to build up the highway, to make it level, to make it easier for those exiles that were in Babylon to return home to Jerusalem. And we're the same way. God's telling us to build up the highway. For us, that means like building those bridges into the community, right? I mean, we have so many different aspects of Simeon, different people that the Lord wants to reach, and there's bridges that maybe you can build that somebody else can't. Maybe there's a bridge that the kids are able to build that we can't build, right? But God wants to build those bridges into the community, and it happens through you guys. And I know we talked about this, but I love that Sarah and Luke have done that. You guys walked into a place that was not where you've ever been, right? And they walked and they went to the homeless and they went to find somebody that God told each of them specifically to find. Luke went multiple times and Sarah went out with Taylor and they looked for him and they searched for him. They were building bridges into that community because God spoke it and said to do it. And I think that's the same for us. We have to build those bridges. Pray, Lord, what is my bridge? What am I supposed to do? How can I prepare the way for other people to get here? After that, so it says, go through the gates, prepare the way, build up the highway, clear it of stones. See, those stones were often obstacles, like I said, that made it hard for them to walk. They would make it hard for the elderly or hard for the kids to walk. It just make it difficult and kind of just frustrating or annoying to constantly run into them, right? I think I would be annoyed with it. But that's the whole point. Our job is to clear the stones for the people to come home to Jesus. Those obstacles that are in the way. And maybe they're obstacles that they've put there, that they've said, I have a wall here. I don't want anything to do with God. I was hurt as a child. I was whatever it is. And they have these walls up. We're supposed to somehow come and help clear those obstacles. You know, for others, maybe they've been hurt by the church. Maybe they have hurts that are so deep in there. And somehow we have to be willing to step into that and repair that and clear those stones, clear those obstacles out of the way. And then for some of them, maybe it's so simple that they just don't have transportation. Like, let's clear obstacles somehow. Does that make sense, guys? Our job is clear. Those obstacles, we can physically remove them, we can try, but how do they really get removed? Prayer. We press, we pursue God, we go deep and we pray. Lord, this person, their heart is so hard right now because they've been hurt. Lord, would you find a way in there? Would you allow a person to speak, whether it be me or somebody else? Would you remove that obstacle that they can get home to you? So it says, go through the gates, prepare the way, build up the highway, clear it of stones, and lastly, lift up a signal over the peoples. The word signal really means like a pole with a banner on top, like a really tall pole with a banner, okay? And this was tall enough that it could be seen far and wide so that those that were maybe miles down the way could see the way. They could see the direction home. They had direction of how to get to Jerusalem, okay? So here's the idea. We're often that signal. We are often that signal. We are often that banner. We're the ones raising our hands saying, hey, it's this way. This way, guys. When those people come to you and maybe they're just, I have a lot of people that come to me and they just want to pour out their problems. And I'm constantly like redirecting. Guys, I understand and I am so sorry you're going through that, but I want to pray with you that God is going to move and do something here. I want to point you to scripture that you can hold on to and pray for yourself and contend for. I'm walking with somebody that's gone through abuse and all of these things right now. And I randomly, probably twice a week, get a text or a message on Facebook from this person. And all I do is I pray in that moment, and I pray for her continually, but I also give her scripture, and I point her constantly to the Lord because I can't save her. I can't fix her problems. Only Jesus can. He's the one that can do that. So we are those ones that lift up the signal to guide people home to Jesus. After I wrote all of this, I just prayed. I was like, Lord, I don't want this to be my words, because this, I do believe, is a word from the Lord. I don't want this to be my knowledge, my anything, but I just want this to be from you. And as I was praying, some words just started coming out, and I was just like, Lord, I'm just going to record this because I want to know that this is your words. And so I'm just going to read this. Forgive me for reading, but I want to speak what I feel like the Lord was speaking with this. Is that okay? All right. It's an exhortation that I'm giving you to go into the city. It's an exhortation to build up the highway, to prepare the way for the people to come home to Jesus. It's an exhortation to build the highway, to build those bridges into the community, into the lost and hurting parts of our city, and those people that desperately need the hope and love of Jesus. It's an exhortation to clear the stones out of the way, to take any obstacles that we may put there or that may be present. Part of that happens by us changing the way we approach people. Part of it also happens by the power of prayer, because only God can change hearts. Only God can call people. Only God can do that. He just asks us to partner with him. So let's pray. Let's ask his Holy Spirit to give us the ways and the words and the wisdom and the strategies to reach those that are lost, to reach the hopeless who are in such desperate need of a loving Savior. Church, he's called us to go. He's exhorting us to lift up a signal, to lift a banner over the people, saying, this is the way home. Your love and your acceptance is found only in Jesus.
So be fruitful and prepare the way. See, I believe that God says there's a harvest that he wants to accomplish in our midst. And there's going to be things that we're going to have to prepare. There's going to be obstacles we're going to have to remove and tear down to get them out of the way of what God wants to do. The third word, again, I think these are like three words, if I'd call them our 2020 vision, because, you know, it's 2020 next year, and I thought it'd be really clever. But these three words, fruitful, prepare, and the third word is multiply. God wants us to plant, to be fruitful, and to multiply. And I want to read one more scripture. If you have your Bible, turn to Jeremiah 29. We'll get there in a second. But this passage has been like on lock. You ever have one of those, like, your favorite song, your jam that you play all the time? This is like a song that the moment I set foot in Simi Valley, Rebecca shared, you know, the council prayed over us when we first got here. When we first got here, this was like the Lord just put this on my heart, like, so strongly. And you'll recall we did prayer walks, and we went to all the high places in our city and all the low places, and we went everywhere where we could just to pray over this land. But this passage of scripture the Lord put on my heart, like, this is it. This is what you're called to do. And this is a word specifically. Again, all these scriptures that we're reading, we have to understand that they're written to God's people at a specific moment in time, but the Lord revealed and will speak to us through those words. But this is written to the people of God who are living in exile. This is kind of in the in-between stage before they come back home to Jerusalem. And as they're living in captivity in an exiled foreign land. By the way, don't you feel that way sometimes living in California? Like, who are these people that I live among? They're weird. I don't understand them, but I love them. But God's message is clear to those people. He tells them that he wants them to be fruitful and to multiply. And he reminds them of this truth that their purpose and their calling and their identity has never been based on their temporal circumstances. In other words, the things that are taking place around them, they're being in captivity, that's not what defines who they are. This is what God says to his people, Jeremiah 29, verse 5. He says, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and sons and daughters and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. Say multiply. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. And again, this passage has just been locked into my heart for the last few years from the moment we set foot here. But God was speaking to his people and reminding them of this idea. And his message is clear. He said, I want you to live where I'm sending you as if this is your final destination. I don't want you to be one foot in the door and one foot out the door. You ever have moments or seasons like that? Maybe you're transitioning out of a job, and so you're kind of there, but you're not there. We call that senioritis, right? You know, where seniors in high school, they're like one foot out the door, one foot in the door. They're not really there. And we can do that because we think, man, I'm not of the world. I want to have my mind set on heaven, and we should do that. But God says, while I've planted you here and sent you here, you're to be in the world, not of the world, but you are to be in the world, and I want you to dig roots deep. I want you to act and live like you're going to stay a while. Now, this is something that we never did. Growing up, I never did this at all, but my wife and I, having 8,000 children in our house, we have a shelf at our front door. You've been to our house, you've seen it. And we always take our shoes off because my boys are disgusting. And so we take our shoes off, right? They track dirt in, and I track dirt in, and we all track dirt in. I didn't realize how dirty we all were. But one thing I know is that when someone comes to our house, we don't require them. We're not like, take your shoes off before you set foot in my house, right? We don't do that. I never wanted that kind of house. It's not the house we live in. We're chill. But I know something. When someone walks in and they see that rack and they take their shoes off, they're going to stay a while. You know what I mean? They're not just like, here, hey, how's it going, right? Someone will bring up food over, or they'll bring something, and they don't take their shoes off. I'm like, cool, they're going to be there, and then they're going to be gone. But when someone takes their shoes off, I know they're going to be a while. I'm like, cool, let me get you a drink. Let's sit down. Let's come into the kitchen. Like, that's a longer-term thing. You know what I mean? You know the difference? Like, when someone, they set their stuff down. It's like this. Sometimes we live in our city like we're staying in a hotel. When you stay in a hotel, you're there for a little while. You might unpack a little bit. You might pull your stuff out. You might get a little bit comfortable, but you're not staying. Like, you could be gone in a moment's notice, and no one would miss you. And I believe that there's a tendency to do just that. What would happen if we lived in our city? Not like I live in Simi Valley, but this is my town. This is my city. This is my people. That wash down there, that's my wash. And the people that live down there, those are my people. And those people that live up the street from me, those are my people. This is my town. This is my city. I care about it. It makes a difference, doesn't it? See, you go in a hotel room and people, man, they love it. They can jump on the bed and they can throw the sheets on the ground. But when you live in your house, that's not how it works, right? I mean, it's like, no, make the bed, take the shoes off. We don't want to get the carpet dirty, right? When you live in a hotel, whatever. But I believe God is saying, I want you to act like you're going to stay a while, that we would take roots in our cities, that we would build and plant and get to know people. See, what God's exhortation to his people is that they were living in captivity as if they were just in that hotel. Like, I'm just waiting to go home. I'm waiting to get out of this place. This ain't where I live. This is just where I'm staying right now. But God says, I want you to think differently. The place that I sent you to, I want you to build. But you know, it takes money to build. It takes time to build. It takes sweat to put a roof on, right, Luke? You're going to live in a house, you're going to put a roof on it. It's going to take work. It's going to take sweat. There's going to be maybe some blood that comes out when you're doing all that. But God says, I want you to build in the land that I'm sending you. I want you to plant vineyards. Now, again, we're talking about planting vineyards. Planting is a difficult thing. But I believe God is saying, he's saying to his people and he's saying to us, I want you to build and plant and get to know the people. See, he gives this whole exhortation about, I want you to find a wife. He's not saying, if you already got a wife, get another one. He's not saying that. He's saying, I want you to live. I want you to live. I want you to multiply and have families and not just think of yourself as living in a hotel, but live in your home that I've sent you to, that we take roots in our city. And it takes sacrifice, doesn't it? It took sacrifice to plant for tomorrow, right? I mean, anyone will tell you that. When my wife and I were blessed to buy a house in Simi, it didn't have any plants, didn't have any fruitful plants, and we like fruit, don't we, boys? Come on, Ezra, we like fruit, don't we? And so it took sacrifice for us to take that money that we would go to buy oranges, and instead of buying oranges for that month, we bought an orange tree. And then we put it in the dirt. It didn't produce any fruit the first year. Second year, just a little bit. We're starting to get some fruit now, huh? We got some fruit now. But it takes a sacrifice to plant plants. When nothing will be promised for me today, and nothing will probably come from it tomorrow. See, I plant a plant not for today, but for the future. And I believe what God was saying is, I want you to be a people that invest in the city that you've been sent to for the future. That you be a people that don't just say, what can I get out of this today? You know, what's my short-term ROI? I want to get good return on my investment. But we say, Lord, how can I plant for the future? See, because when I plant a tree in my house and when I think about myself living and taking roots and building a house and planting a vineyard and marrying and having my kids get married in that city, I'm thinking about a legacy, and it's a different perspective, isn't it? See, I'm not thinking about my house, and I don't know, by the way, this is just something, some wisdom here. We don't know what tomorrow holds. None of us do. We could be transferred. There could be things that come up in our life that will have us going somewhere else. And that is an unknown part of our future. But God says, I want you to live as if this were it. Live as if this city that I've sent you in and the house that I put you at, that's where you're going to be. Because it changes things. See, I'm thinking about the tree in my front yard, and I'm thinking about my grandkids swinging under that tree on that tree swing that's out front. And one day, their kids coming back and mowing the lawn that I'm planting right now in the front yard. And one day, their kids coming back and eating the oranges that great-grandpa Fox planted in that front yard. I'm thinking about a legacy because God has said, I want you to put roots and live as if tomorrow were not just the day that you're going home, but tomorrow were the day that you're going to be living here. As if it were your home. See, God says, I want you to live like you're going to be there a while. And then he says this. He says, seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. See, something changes in our hearts when we see God's house, when we see the city that he sent us to, when we see the mission that he's given us to accomplish with our lives, and we see it not just as a temporary thing, but we see it as a mission from God. Like, God sent me to this city. And as a pastor, I have a great sense of God sent me to this city. But sometimes it's easy when maybe we're not in a vocational ministry, or we're not a pastor. Like, well, I just live here. This is just where I'm living right now. I got a great house and I love it, but this is just where I'm at. No, the Lord says he sent you here. See, the Bible declares that God set the dwelling place of man and even the time that man would be born. Did you know that God sent you to Simi Valley right here, right now? That it's not on chance that you're here. I believe God has designed that on purpose. But God says, I want you to seek the welfare of your city, to pray for it, to bless it. And then that final word is that word multiply in verse 6. And that's our word multiply. Watch what God does. God says, I don't want you to shrink. I don't want you to dwindle. But I want you to multiply there and do not decrease. See, to multiply means to leave some things of comfort. And I just admit this. There's something of uncomfortability when it comes to multiplication. But I believe there's great joy that comes with multiplication. Addition is a good thing, right? Addition is a great thing, and we love addition. My kids love addition way better than they love multiplication because it's easier, right? It's easier for us to just add here and there, but there's times where God says, I want you to multiply there and do not decrease. And I don't have a clear picture of all that that's going to entail for us as a church. I do know that God is calling us to be a church that multiplies. That's why, you know, as we begin in the new year of 2020, we're going to multiply our community groups. By God's grace, we're going to have more space at more tables and more couches that are open for people in our city. Because there's more people in our city than there are spaces on my couch. My couch is full all the time. I've got too many kids sitting on it. But we need more couches to invite more people to come, and more tables to invite people to come in, and more space to create for more people to come in. Because, again, at the end of this day, it's not about us. It's all about us preparing the way for the people. And I believe God has people. God's got people in our city, people that we don't recognize or realize or know yet. But God's got people, and there's something important of us thinking about how can we be fruitful with what God's given us, and how can we prepare the way for what God wants to do in our personal lives and as a church? How can we remove obstacles to people coming to faith, whatever those obstacles are, whether those obstacles are things that we're doing or ways that we're attempting to do church, whatever that looks like, that we remove those obstacles and clear the way so that people can come to God. See, church, I'll just tell you, I don't ever want the obstacle to someone getting to God be something that I did. And it's easy. If I cling to traditions, if I cling to ways of doing things, and you name it, we can cling to things that aren't this. I'm going to cling to this. So don't get me wrong here. We're going to cling to God's word and what he says. But there's things that we can set up as obstacles in front of people getting to church. And I believe sometimes God says he wants church not just to wait for people to come to it, but church would get to the people. We go down to those washers, and we go down to those parks, and we go down to the ball fields, and we go down to our schools, and we go down to our places of employment, and we'd be present in those places, and we'd be waving the banner, as Rebecca talked about, saying, you hope that you're looking for, the things that you're longing for, it's over here. God's got that hope for you. And I believe as we do that, as God will begin to not just add to us one by one, but he'll begin to multiply our effectiveness. It'll begin to make us fruitful, more fruitful than perhaps we're even expecting. But I believe that will take place as we seek the Lord. And as Rebecca said, as we pray, as we draw near to God and fix our eyes on him and ask him, God, how do you want me to be fruitful? Where do you want me to plant? Where do you want me to invest my life in? God, how would you have me prepare the way for the people? How would you have me open the gates and prepare the way and clear away the rocks and wave the banner so that men and women might hear the good news and come to God? God, how would you have us do that? And that is my prayer, and that's a prayer I want us to pray, that the Lord would give us eyes and strategies and wisdom and means of accomplishing what he wants us to accomplish. Because I'll tell you, when God spoke that word in the book of Isaiah, God's people didn't know exactly what it meant to build up the roads and to clear away the stones, but they did along the way as God met them and as God went with them and as God helped them to prepare the way and pave the road. Maybe there's a metaphor there. I don't know. We've got some paving to do. But God says, I want you to prepare the way. And I want to pray that. Can we just pray that prayer? I want to ask the Lord to give us wisdom on how we can be fruitful and multiply and prepare the way for him. Would you bow your heads with me as we respond to the Lord? Father, we just thank you. Lord, I thank you for the word that I believe you're speaking to us. Lord, we don't take your word lightly. We don't take your word we don't speak your word flippantly, but Lord, we do receive what you're speaking to us. I receive what you're speaking to me. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to have wisdom. Help us to find wisdom and grace, Lord God, in our own personal lives individually, where we're going to take hold of the fruit that you've already planted. There's already fruit in the land. There's already blessing. There's already salvations awaiting in our city. There's people just longing and looking and striving to find you, striving to find hope. God, may we be a place of refuge for those that are searching for you, for those that you're calling unto yourself. Holy Spirit, we pray that you do that work in our city. God, I know that you're already at work all around our city, from the visible spaces to the hidden corners all over our city. God, I pray that you'd give us eyes to see. Lord, the work that you're doing. And though this season, I do believe, is going to be a season where we're busy, where you've got work for us to accomplish in building up the walls and preparing the house for what you want to do. Just as we metaphorically have to set our dinner tables for company to come over, Lord, I pray that you'd give us wisdom to set the table, that your house might be filled. And Lord, that you might add to the things that you're doing here and the people that you've sent us already. Lord, we say, Lord, would you continue to do that work? Give us eyes to see, Holy Spirit. I pray for boldness of faith. May we not be passive in our faith, in our pursuit of you. But give us a boldness, Lord God, to reach after the fruit that you've already prepared in our city. To have eyes to see where you placed it And Lord, help us to prepare the way for the people. Just as you invited your people, those forerunners of faith that went before the people of God as they went back to Jerusalem, Lord, may we be like those. Would you help us to open the gates? Give us the keys to our city, Lord God, that we can open the gates, that the people might come out. And Lord, help us to prepare the way, to remove all the obstacles, and to wave the banner of hope for our city. Lord God, that visual of a banner high and widely seen. Lord God, we don't want our city to see us. We don't want our city to proclaim how great those people are. But Lord, would you help us to raise a banner in Simi Valley that would be seen far and wide? It wouldn't be the banner of Newhart. It wouldn't be the banner of Brian. It wouldn't be the banner of any one of our names, but it would be the banner of you, Jesus. The banner of hope and truth. Lord, make us that search party that you've called us to be, that we could raise a banner for our whole city to see, that men and women near, far, and wide from us, Lord God, they would see it and they might come in to what you're doing. Lord, we pray that you'd multiply us. Lord, I pray that word over our lives, that you'd help us to plant vineyards. Plant new fruitful expressions of what you want to accomplish. Lord, as in this season, we're going to bear fruit and we're going to eat the fruit that others have planted. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to leave a legacy of faithfulness in Simi Valley. I pray that over every man and woman in this room today and every young person in this room today. God, give us wisdom to know how to plant our lives in such a way that we'll bear fruit. That will bear fruit, not just for our blessing, not just for our benefit, but that others far from us might hear and know. God, give us wisdom to do that, that our lives might be truly used to make a difference in Simi Valley to generations unseen to us. Lord, may the fruit of what you want to do just resonate to the generations. I pray that over our city, I pray that you would accomplish that word that you've put deep within the heart of this church, that we would be a place of blessing to the city and to the region and to the nations. God, I pray that you'd plant a vineyard. You'd plant a thriving vine that would just bear fruit, and then that fruit might be planted and bear more fruit. God, multiply the work that you're doing. We receive those words. We pray that you'd multiply us, that you'd prepare us, and that you'd make us fruitful in all that we do. God, we thank you for your word. I pray blessing, Lord God, over this church as we walk in the days ahead. We thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.